Thank you, Sister Johnson. I'll tell you what, if you listen to those words, it's pretty close to a mother's heart and to all of our hearts. Thank you for that good special. I want you to go to the Psalms this morning. I'm going to take an unusual text here, just a short one. As we give our time to honoring our mothers, we thank you for you that have come to honor your mother today. And thankful for all the mothers that have come maybe for a special service with us today. Yeah, I want you to go to Psalms 113. We're going to just take the 9 verses, and I'm actually just going to mainly use the last verse a little bit of these 9 verses of this short psalm, Psalms 113. The Bible has a lot to say about mothers. I hope when you read this scripture, you pick out some of the wonderful truths that's involved with motherhood. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on godly mothers. And I'm sure as we've been singing in the service that our minds will be on that. Brother Galyon sang for us this morning in Sunday school, Precious Memories, and we've all got those, no doubt about it. Psalms 113, beginning verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye servants, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Who dwelleth on high? Who humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifted up the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. Then I want you to look at this verse in particular. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. You know, the Bible does say a lot about mothers. In fact, the big Ten Commandments, if you go to the fifth commandment, what does it say? Honor father and mother, right? And then Paul comments on that later in the New Testament, because it's the first commandment with promise, and that promise is long life on the earth. And we are to honor our parents, and we normally would go, and we hear this so much around Mother's Day, but the 31st proverb, the virtuous woman, we often use that. And that's good. It's a classic. The truth is, that particular one begins over there with saying, who can find a virtuous woman, that her price is far above rubies? And then it goes on to describe the old-fashioned mother, the godly mother, all the way through the proverb. And finally, it gets down to say that her children riseth up to call her blessed. And it goes on and says that beauty is vain, but talks about the real mother and the kind of mother most mothers would certainly want to be. I think about all the various things, and while somebody looks at it, they say, well, that's old-fashioned stuff. That's what we need today, is to get back to some good old-fashioned truths that has been lost. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And that ought to be the end desire, ladies, and certainly mothers today. You know, the truth is that who can find that kind of mother? I think some still exist, but I will have to say not as much as used to be. And I wish that was not true. Mothers have a special place in our heart. You see some big old hairy looking tough guy with you know, with his big arms out there, and what's he got? Got a tattoo says mother. Now we can joke about that a little bit, but I don't care how big a fella he is, how mean he is, he still loves his mother. It's a natural thing, isn't it? I used to see going down the road, and I'll date myself with this. They used to have these big signboards on the road, and it would have a picture of a Volkswagen van. Now, remember them? That's the ones the flower children got in, you know, and wrote all across America, butterfly people, whatever they were. Anyway, butterflies in the brain. But anyway, they'd get those Volkswagen buses. The thing only had, the originals only had 36 horsepower. You had to get 50 miles an hour. You had to drop it off of Pipe's Peak down the hill, you know. But the truth is, a lot of folks bought them and could put a lot of people in them. But they used to have the signboard, and this always got to me, ugly as it could be. And the signboard was honest. It said, only a mother could love it. And a lot of truth to that. We think about that. But mother has a special place in our hearts. And we all know the different stories of mother's love. And do you notice this? The football season will get going again and all that. But when they stick a microphone on one of them big football players' nose, you know what he says? He says, hello to mother. Sorry, Daddy, but you don't get mentioned much. And the truth is, mother has a special place and a special place in the hearts of kids. And some of the stories are really, really great things that we can think about. And somebody has made a statement like this. It's not too far off. It says, God was too busy to be with us all the time, so he gave us mothers. And there's a lot of truth to that, in the sense that mother takes a special place in our heart. I want to say a few things this morning about godly mothers. To begin with, I want to say that if you look through a little history, you'll find some of the greatest names in history, presidents and statesmen and some of the forefathers that made America great. You'll find great quotes written by them praising their mother. Abe Lincoln said, all that I am and all that I hope to be, I owe to my godly mother. George Washington had statements about his mother. Most of you got a Scofield Bible out there. If you got a Scofield Bible, that's a study Bible, got notes in it. The King James Bible, of course, only kind I believe in. But anyway, if you got one, would you raise your hand? You got a Scofield Bible? Hands all over the auditorium. Cyrus Scofield, he was a lawyer. He was a drunk. He got saved, made a great preacher. And he's the basic editor that put together the Scofield Bible that a lot of independent Baptists still use, because his notes basically are pretty good all the way through. Scofield. You know what? Scofield's mother dedicated him to be a preacher at his birth. And Scofield got a long way from that. He got to be a lawyer. He got to be a drunk. But one day, an old farmer come in his office, had a problem, and come to the lawyer. And the lawyer helped him with his problem. And as the old farmer was leaving the office, he turned back and he said, Mr. Scofield, how come you're not a Christian? And he said, well, I drank some. And he started giving up. He said, no, that's not it. He said, how come you don't accept Jesus and get saved? And Scofield couldn't get away from what that old farmer said, and he did get saved. And then he found out mama had already dedicated him to be a preacher at his birth. I want to tell you something. Mama's influence is honored by God also. And in the old days, you have statements like that from some of the great leaders of our land, like the presidents and others. Do you know that in early America, in Washington, D.C., almost every government building had a scripture over the door or in the hall? Colleges did. Schools, day schools did. You know why? Because that's the kind of people that God raised up at a mother's knee to take over and guide our country. And that was a very important thing. In your songbook out there, you've got a song. It's sung everywhere. It'll even get sung up in political circles and in high society today. It's called Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Written by John Newton, who was raised by a Christian mother until he ran away and got on a slave boat. And later even become a slave himself. He got down so low to a slave woman bought him and would not even let him sit at the table to eat. She threw his food on the floor and made him eat it like a dog. That was John Newton. No wonder when he got saved, and he said he got saved because he remembered
praying and his mother praying at her knee, and some of the songs that she taught him. And yeah, he got so low, he tried to jump over ship and drowned himself, commit suicide. And the evil captain of the boat fired a harpoon at him like he would a whale and reeled him back in. And somehow he lived through that. But he went that low, but it was remembering mother that got him saved. No wonder he wrote, "Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me." Oh, yes, God used him mightily. We still sing the song all the time today. But I think about it. So many men you could name. I'll name you one you probably never heard of, Tom Carter. Tom Carter went to prison. It was not me. It was Tom now. I haven't been to prison yet. Anyway, but Tom Carter went to prison. But his mother had dedicated him as a baby to be a preacher. And she got a telegram in the old days, got a telegram from the prison that said, "Tom is dead." She got her Bible and she went and got on her knees and she said, "Dear God, you promised me, I have your word that Tom was going to get saved and be a preacher. Now I've got this telegram, Lord, and it says Tom is dead. I got words on this telegram that says he's dead, but I've got your word, your promise, that you're going to make a preacher out of. Now, whose word am I going to believe?" And in a little while, a second telegram come and said, "Mistake, Tom was not dead. He did get out, he did get saved, and he did make a great preacher." Don't underestimate a relationship mom has with God. I've heard it. I've even told my own son when he was growing up, and God blessed us with the one boy, and now he's a preacher, and we praise God for that. But what I'm saying to you is sometimes when he hit that rebellious age that teenagers, all teenagers, amen, hit that age at some time or another, don't we? Anyway, at that age, I used to say to him when I say, "Son, you don't have to fear me. Fear your mama's prayers." And he learned that was the truth. Man, God does hear a mother's prayer. She has some influence with God. And what a kid has learned at his mother's knee is oftentimes the thing that pulls him through life and brings him back to where he should have never left to start with. I want to say that our strength of our nation has been good mothers. Go back and check out our leaders. Go back who influenced them. I said something last Sunday morning that Harry Truman was one of the, within 11 minutes that he recognized Israel when they went back in the land on May 14th, 1948. And while he was greatly influenced by an independent Baptist preacher out of Texas, telling him what the Bible had to say, he also credited, said, "When I was a kid, mother taught me to stand with the Jews with Israel." That was President Harry Truman that left that testimony. His mother had a part in one of the biggest decisions politically that America's ever made. I won't get off on that except to say that our nation's strength can go all the way back to a mother's influence on the babies that God gave her. I'll go on to say this, and I'm sad to say this, but godly motherhood is under attack today. It has been for a long time. You see the text here. I chose a very politically incorrect text. Did you know that? Did you know the King James Bible is full of politically incorrect texts according to the world today? I want to say this to my deacon board. I want to say it to staff. I want to say it to church membership. I'm not politically correct. And don't let that worry you. Don't lose any sleep over it. You say, "Well, preacher, we might get sued." So what? We're going to fight Caesar till the trumpet sounds. Amen. Not afraid of him a bit, because we know he stands on the wrong side. He's on the wrong side of motherhood. Right. I'm talking about motherhood being under attack. It's not politically correct for this verse. Look at the verse. "He maketh the barren woman to keep house." If you realize, that could have also carry with it the meaning staying home. Gonna get quiet in here. Staying home, keep house. And to be a joyful mother of children. In other words, the children are not a burden, an inconvenience, a career interrupter. No, to be joyful about kids. They're from God. Amen. And the Bible talks about it. The man being blessed has got his quiver full of them, like a number of arrows. And they'll stand against the enemy in the gate. All that is in the Word of God. Like it or not, God is for big families. Oh, that's not politically correct. I understand that. Unless they swam the river and got in and got on welfare, then it's no matter how many there are. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to be sweet this morning. But I don't know if I'll make it. I'll do my best. But what we have today is we have a put down in society against old-fashioned motherhood. That's right. I mean, every kind of way. You know what so-called lack of motherhood has done today? It has caused the abortion industry to just soar. It's become birth control is what it's become. And a lot of people are going to answer to God for that. This verse here talks about God's blessing on the woman to stay home and to have kids, to keep house. By the way, there's a difference, a little difference in staying home and keeping house. As a preacher, I've been in a few houses that needed keeping. Hey, you came to where there's an old codger preaching this morning. You're liable to hear anything. Just buckle your seatbelt. You'll make it through. But the truth is, our nation is attacking motherhood every way that you look. It's just not politically correct. We've got this gender confusion. Wow. If you don't know the difference in a male and female, you ought to go to the hospital. In fact, the psychiatric ward. Something wrong with you, amen? And some of you women need to run your antenna up on this. No matter, listen, if you want to get a man you can dominate, you didn't get a man to start with. You might have got a limp wrist kind of wimpy thing, I don't know. But that's not a man, and you're not going to be happy with him long if you can kick him around and beat him up. It's hard to be sweet to you folks. I just get too many vibes back from you, amen? Some of y'all are going to, some of you women need to learn something. If you can beat him up, he ain't going to stay with you. You ever hear that little saying about a rooster? He'll either rule the roost or he'll fly the coop. One or the other. And God's got a plan. If we get men to be men and women to be women and get it on God's plan, it's going to end the way you'd like for it to end. And you do it your way, it's going to end in the ditch. And you're going to one day regret it. Amen and amen. Amen myself this morning. Gender confusion. I want to tell you, there's a difference in a man's job and a woman's job. I don't care what the politically correct crowd says. I would not want to be in the same foxhole with a woman. I mean, you say, well, she didn't pull the trigger good as you, but how about when they say fix bayonets? Now who you want to be your partner? It's plain stupid, like a common sense that we want to try to say women, you can do anything a man can. No, you can't. And you shouldn't want to. And you ought to be against the crowd that wants you to pray like you're a man. The Bible calls you the weaker vessel. And as the weaker vessel tells the big brute to respect you and to love you and to guide you. Amen. There's a difference in the way a man can do a job and a woman can do it. And there's some jobs women can do. That's why I don't never go in the nursery. There's some jobs the women can do. I've often told my staff, I'll do anything I ask you to do, but I'm not asking the men to go in there. Now, some can, maybe. And I did have a bad experience changing diapers when my kid was young. But there's some things I can do my wife can't do. And there's some things she can do I can't do. And the truth is, common sense tells you which is right and which is wrong and how stupid it is to try to put a burden on the women that they got to do anything the man can do, or we'll take you to court. You know what one of the most terrorizing words today in America is in business and in corporations? Most terrorizing three words. All white males. Oh, I thought they'd quieten you down. Here's what's politically correct. You got to hire because of gender. You got to hire because of nationality. You can't hire because of skill and ability and common sense anymore. I knew I'd lose you there, but it's the truth. And you've been so brainwashed, you think I'm wrong. I'm not wrong on that. I'm right. And any businessman ought to have a right to hire whoever he decides can do the job. And Uncle Sam's got no business meddling in there to tell him he ought to have so many women, so many nationalities. No, bless God, we ought to still be free to go out and do the job that our forefathers told us to do that made this country great. Motherhood is under attack. I read recently where Google, if I can say it right, engineer lost his job. I guess it's a company named Google. Some of you brainwashed computer people out there. Is that the name of the company, Google? They fired an engineer because he was doing an analysis and he wrote, I find that men seem to choose this type of job and women seem to choose this type of job. And he got fired because he stereotyped gender. Yeah. That's how crazy our country's gone. We're reaping for that craziness. Everywhere you turn, we're reaping for it. Oh, man. There's a man here in the audience knows when we went up to Washington, D.C. in an argument we had over Christian education. And I remember we thought we had an appointment with the big boss. We got as close as that front pew to his door. But then there was a big bureaucratic woman sitting behind a desk, and she wouldn't let us go any further. And I said to her, where is your law stopping us? And she said, we don't have a law. We have an interdepartmental policy. I said, then why don't somebody sue you? And she said, you can go ahead and do it, but we will tie it up for years and use your tax money against you. Didn't she say that, Brother Lee? Government is putting stuff on us that the Constitution and the laws never wrote up to start with. And the trouble is, we as a population bow to that junk. And we've taken leave of our own common sense. And when you don't know the difference in a man and a woman, you're in trouble. When you don't know the difference in the job that a man ought to have and a woman ought to have, something wrong with you. God's got a plan. Some of you don't believe it. I want you to use your Bible. I'm going to show you a verse, and I'm about to quit here. Pray I will. You ladies, don't put your shoes back on yet. I'm not quite through. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I want to read you something. I want you to mark it in your Bible if you have it. God's got a plan for you. Younger women, I want you to mark this. Listen to me. Here's the Bible. Not me. I didn't write it. Here it is, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry. You ever heard that word? Younger women marry. How about the next line? Bear children. Guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Did you see the verse? Now, right side the verse, you ought to write, here's God's plan for me. If you're a young lady, it's God's plan for you. Amen. And God will direct the right man to you. I mean, in the garden, He put two together, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. Amen. And God is still capable of putting the two right ones together. And he's got a plan, and that is to raise a Christian family and to follow his plan. And I want to say, some of you ladies, you say, but I got a career and I'm not going to let a baby mess it up. You're going to destroy the joy not only of having children. One day you're going to destroy the joy of being a grandmother when you get old and you got nobody around you because you didn't have a family. Amen, Nikki, amen. Sad to say it, folks, but that's happening to a lot of people. I want to say this. The godly mother's influence, as I've already said, will live on. Will live on. Oh, I can't take time. I think about it. See that picture up there of the hotel, the radio station, the girls' dormitory right here. Old hotel we restored. Right behind that's an old house. I was raised in that house from the 6th grade to the 12th grade. One side of that house. There was another family on the other side. Feel sorry for me now. Back then, we didn't have hot water. We didn't have air conditioning. But we lived by the grace of God. But you know what? The church owns that place now. And when I go by it and look at it, and we use it now for some dorm space and stuff, but you know what I have around that house? I got all kind of precious memories, Brother Galyon, all kind of memories. I remember when I ran my bicycle down the hill wide open and the chain broke. It was a girl's bicycle. I paid $5 for it. I wouldn't have sold it for anything at that time. But when that chain broke, I was pumping the pedals. And with it being a girl's bicycle, my knee went down and hit the pavement because there was no top bar like a boy's bicycle. I drug my knee all the way down that paved road because it was a hill. When I limped back home, I was a bloody mess. It tore up my pants, skint my knee, blood was everywhere. I got to the back step hollering for who? Daddy? No. Mama. Hollering for mama. Mama come out there ripping up rags. We never had those fancy band-aids. She just ripped up white rags from somewhere and started doctoring me. First poured kerosene on it, of course. Yeah. Some of you'd still be in the hospital if you'd hurt like that. Wrapped it up, and I'm watching Mama as she's doing it because I knew what Mama was going to do. As she wraps it, she gets whiter and whiter in the face. Just about the time she got it tied, she went over and fainted. Then it was my time to doctor. Then I had to get a wet rag and swat her face with it and bring her back to the world of the living. But you know what? That's a precious memory to me now. She didn't go out and say, oh, you hurt yourself, take care of yourself. She done everything she could. And I can tell you story after story after that because that makes my mama very precious to me this morning. She's the first one. Mother's the first one a kid will go to when he gets hurt. He'll run around daddy to get to mama. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. It talks about here in the text of being a joyful mother. Joyful mother of children is what it says. You know, mothers, I talk about the kids having memories of you, but I'm going to talk to you just a second about your memories of them. If you'd be honest with me, what would you give to have a little lap time again? That baby crawling up, putting her hands on your face, hugging your neck, or even when they were hurt a little bit and wanted to come and cry on your shoulder a little bit. Remember that? Wouldn't you like to have some of that lap time back? Yeah. Yeah, we would. It's going to come and go. One mother said, and all you ladies, you've heard this. Mother said, enjoy your kids because they're going to grow up fast. They are. And we can't call those times back, but they are precious. And you shouldn't cheat yourself out of the precious part of them, out of the joy this verse is talking about of having them. Don't let the brainwashing of a nation that has become evil against God take away the joys that God gives them that you can't put a price on. And you can't put a price on what I just mentioned. That lap time. Memories like that. I think about the nurse that said she worked in a big ward hospital and where kids were in their long range. And she said mothers would come in and see the kids and said often the kids would cry, especially when mothers started to leave. And she said, but there's one little girl. She looked sad, but she never cried. Said, I went to her one day and said, honey, said, all the rest of the kids find things to cry about sometime. I never see you cry. She said to the nurse, she said, well, you see, I'm an orphan. I don't have a mother to cry to. Think about that a little bit. Yeah, it's even a precious time when they came crying to you to get their feelings fixed. Yeah, even that is precious. You know, a man got saved, walked down the church aisle, receiving Christ as his Savior. And the preacher knew of him a little bit. He knew he'd come and heard him preach a time or two. And finally, that morning, he was rejoicing with the man being saved. And he said to him, he said, brother, what was it I said this morning that finally caused you to step out and come to Christ? And he said, preacher, it wasn't your words. It was memories of mother and what she said to me. Oh, yeah, that influence lives on. It's something that is a gift from heaven to a great degree that's very tangible and very real. I think about the mother. They got the telegram in World War II. Some of you older folks, you remember what a terror it was for the telegram to come to a house during wartime. I was a little young, of course, for World War II, but I remember some kin folks being in it. And I remember some of the sorrow when the telegram came that so-and-so was missing in action. This mother heard a knock on the door, and she saw it was the telegram, and her heart was broken. She took the telegram. She was home alone. She went and sat down and opened it, and sure enough, it was the bad news that she dreaded, that her son had been lost in the war. She was sitting there in her tears and thinking on it and praying. And she said she didn't know where it really happened or whether she just thought it, but she said it seemed like an angel showed up to her. And the angel said to her, mother, if I were to bring him back to you, when would you like for him to come? Would you like for him to come back to you as a high schooler graduating this cap and gown? Would you like to see him then? Would you like to see him after he came home from the military and was dressed in his proud uniform and stood so tall? Would you like to see him then? She said, no. I'd like to see him when he came in as a young boy with mud on his shoes. And I scolded him because he came into the house tracking mud. And he got mad at me and he hollered at me and he said, I hate you, and he ran out. But she said, then after a little while, he came back crying and he crawled up in my arms and said, Mama, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. She said, give him back to me that day. I want to say to you this morning, mother's influence, godly mother's influence, it's going to go on forever. And your memories, and mothers, you're creating memories as you live as a young mother, older mother, even a grandmother, you're still creating memories. The biggest memory and the best memory is all, if you were able to lead that child to Christ, to show them how to be saved. They'll never forget that, and you'll never forget that. And it'll be the most precious thing that you'll ever remember as a godly mother of influence in your boy, girl, to come to Jesus. I hope you've done that. I hope you know him yourself. Mother, you can't raise a kid for Jesus until you know Jesus yourself. I hope you know him. I pray today not one in the sound of my voice is here without the Lord Jesus Christ. On this Mother's Day, be a good time for you to come and get saved. Right now, some of you know you still aren't saved, but you know Mother prayed for you and talked to you and tried to win you. What a great time it would be to come and receive Christ even this morning. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Let's stand quietly to our feet. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, in a room this big, there's probably some folks here unsaved. There's probably some kids that remember a mother or a dad telling them about Jesus, and yet they're still unsaved. They've gone their own way. They've been out in the briar patch that the devil tricked them into. The struggle of life has scarred them up. Father, I pray for them right now that this point would be a turning point this morning. Maybe they even came to honor a mother this morning. But I pray as they have the opportunity, they'd come forward and trust Jesus that loved them and died for them and paid for every sin they've ever committed. Every time they sassed a mother, every time they disobeyed, no matter how deep in sin they've gone, I thank you that your blood cleanses from all sin. I thank you they can come and receive Christ and become a new creature in him, even this morning. I pray you'd bless in the invitation. Speak to mothers, to children, to fathers, and whatever the need, I pray that you're speaking to some heart about, that they would say yes to you today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to give an invitation on the authority of God's word. I tell you that Jesus said, "Whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out." He'll receive you. Will you receive him? I pray you will. Will you come as we sing?
Just as